This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. It's a question that has plagued man for thousands of years. How did life start on Earth? Well, Matt Pasek, a USF professor of geology, is attempting to answer that question, and he may be onto something pretty surprising. Matt, welcome to University Beat.
Well, thank you.
Now, you're working with researchers from the University of Washington and the Edinburgh Center for Carbon Innovation.
Right.
Tell us what the team has found so far.
Well, what we have found recently has been the presence of an unusual phosphorus compound, and phosphorus is an element that's important in life. It makes up a part of your DNA, and it does all sorts of really important stuff. And so we find in this very old rock a signature of phosphorus that is very different than phosphorus we find today. And this phosphorus signature we propose may have come from a meteorite source.
So then the thought would be that somehow life began from a meteorite from outer space, perhaps.
Right. Yeah, so the variety of phosphorus that's delivered from meteorites is a form, it's a mineral that you do not find on the surface of the Earth pretty much at all. And when you take this meteorite mineral and dump it in water, you can actually form new compounds with it that include varieties that are not what you see. And some of these varieties can actually get incorporated into biological molecules pretty easily.
And now we are going back, though, to rocks and earth samples from how long ago?
We're going back all the way about 3.5 billion years. That's about 77% of the Earth's history. And what we're looking at are these variety of rocks called limestone. And if you're familiar with Florida, limestone is what makes up most of Florida. The limestone we're looking at is one of the oldest limestones we know, and it's from northwestern Australia.
Like you say, you're looking in Australia. There's also some other locations, but one of the sites that you are examining is indeed in Florida.
Right. Yeah, we looked at Avon Park. Some of the limestone there is one of the most well-characterized limestones among limestones. And so we took a look at that one as a comparison. Now, the only one we found the interesting phosphorus was this old rock. And it's sort of after that, things got a little bit more what we would consider normal for phosphorus chemistry.
So what you're thinking then is that possibly the meteorite that could have started life on Earth is in Australia?
Well, at this point, you know, Australia has been squished around and mushed around through various plate tectonic processes for many, many times. It may not necessarily be one meteorite. What we see or what we have an idea for in early Earth is that about 4 billion to 3.8 billion years ago, the Earth was being heavily bombarded by meteorites, thousands times what we see even today as far as meteorites falling to the Earth. And so for at least at that point in time, a large amount of meteorite material probably fell to the Earth and eventually reacted with water and it got trapped in these limestone-type rocks.
So now the idea of phosphorus as this building block, you say, for early life, what would we be talking about? I mean, and how long would it have taken phosphorus to then develop into what?
That's a great question. If you take this various varieties of phosphorus, and so the one that they are mining here in Hillsborough County and in neighboring counties is a variety known as apatite. And it's actually a very important mineral, so what makes up bones and teeth of even us. And this apatite mineral is unreactive, which is great because you wouldn't want your teeth reacting with your soda too much, even though it does a little bit. It's not a lot. And so we're fortunate in that the apatite is a pretty inert mineral. But for sort of getting life started, having a unreactive mineral is not very useful. So if you wanted to make something like DNA or that, if you mix the precursors to DNA, sort of the AGTC letters and some sugars and some apatite, nothing happens. If you do this with the meteorite mineral, you can actually start to encourage formation of things that look a little bit more lifelike than what if you use the terrestrial varieties.
Now, as you say, things that look more lifelike, what would those things possibly be?
The one that we report in the paper is something called glycerol phosphate. And glycerol phosphate is a biomolecule that makes up your cell membranes. And so sort of the boundary layer between your cell and everything else is a cell membrane. And the glycerol phosphate is an important part of that.
And you also mentioned the idea there of the Earth being bombarded with meteorites at that time. How many would you even begin to estimate?
The best estimate we have right now is from the moon. And so when we take a look at the moon and have samples of from the Apollo missions, they collected samples of impact rocks. So these rocks that are all smooshed together by impacts. When we looked at those, all of them seemed to show that the impacts clustered at about 3.8 billion years. And so we come from that idea to say that the Earth was being pelted probably about, if you look out today, you would see about one meteor falling every hour or something like that. And back then, you'd probably see maybe as many as one each second.
Looking at the quote-unquote timetable, you're talking 3.5 billion years mm-hmm. ago. Does this point to signs that there may have been life in some form that came to Earth with these meteorites? I mean, was there life out there, in other words? And
right.
What does it point to for today?
For at least sort of transfer of living organisms to the Earth, it's hard to say. Effectively, the idea of forming life requires a specific type of chemistry. And if you did that on Earth or some other planet, then shot it off on a little space rock, it gives you effectively the same problem. It's just a question of maybe you can get a little bit different environment in those places. As far as developing high levels of complexity for organisms, or I'm not organisms, but biomolecules, it doesn't seem like the meteorites hold very much. They're pretty much pretty simple things or very gooey tar-like things. So for today, effectively what we see with meteorites and things like that that fall to the Earth is most of the time when a meteorite falls, it sits around for a little while and then gets eaten away, mostly by action of water that interacts with microbes and microbes rust it away. And we don't see life coming about today for a variety of reasons. One of the biggest ones is that there is life around today, and if there were environments that were amenable to forming new life, most of the time existing life would go in there and eat up everything that's around and wouldn't let anything probably kick into gear at that point. Another thing that's kind of causing an issue is that when we see the environment today, that has been heavily modified by life. All the air that you're breathing and the oxygen and things like that, that's coming about from life. So we have this idea that there's some changes on the early Earth from where we look at now, that the Earth has been modified itself by the action of life. So if we can actually see what the primordial geology and geochemistry was of the Earth, we might be able to kind of get a better idea of what might have kicked life into gear. And so this phosphorus signature is one of those good signs that something was different on the early Earth versus today.
What comes next? What do you look at next? I mean, at a certain point, do you go, you know, this is it. Oh, my goodness, we found, you know, point A of
right.
Earth's origin, so to speak.
We still have a fair bit more. The nice thing about science is you can always think of the next thing to do, for the most part, unless you've actually answered it. And then you go back and take a look at everything again. We are currently working on making more interesting biomolecules with this meteorite mineral. And we've had some pretty good success, and stay tuned for that, for how complex and how unique of biological molecules we actually see. We're still taking a look at other varieties of rocks, and my colleagues at here in geology, we've actually been able to develop, especially Zach Atlas, have been able to develop new technologies for finding this weird varieties of phosphorus. And we think actually that even today we're seeing some low level that's being created by life. And it's unclear why they're doing that or how they're doing that, but it's an interesting avenue of research that has important implications for understanding fertilizer and industry and a couple other things that are a bit more here and now.
Well, you say they, how they're doing that. Who are they?
A they is probably some sort of microbial organism. It's single cell bacteria, we don't exactly know. We only see the final result.
And when you're looking at these different samples from these different areas and you come across the one from Australia that suddenly is different from the rest of them, what does that feel like as a scientist, as a researcher?
In this case, I had actually been sitting on this rock for about 6 years. And so it was one of those that my colleagues from University of Washington said, hey, why don't you take a look at this rock? And with the techniques and tools I had available at that time, I did, and nothing was interesting. And we went back, maybe 2 years ago, started getting better methods and did a couple calculations for seeing if we could even see this stuff. And with the better methods and calculations that showed it could have been present even today, we decided to take another look and lo and behold, had confirmation of our idea. And we're pretty pleased to see that. It's one of those cases where it doesn't happen often that you make a prediction and actually have it turn out to be true. And that was a nice thing to find at once.
How big a rock are we talking?
Depends on the terms. Rocks are big most of the time, especially when you find them in the earth. It is about 6 inches in height, and it's a layer that goes around through Australia for about 4 or 5 miles.
How far down?
Well, so we have surface samples where it actually pops out at the surfaces, and that's where some of our samples came from. And we actually have drill samples of this rock too, both of which show the same thing, that the phosphorus is of a different variety. Those were about 1,000 feet down or so.
When you're looking at a rock with evidence dating back 3.5 billion years, when you see that and it's like this piece of rock could actually hold the answers, what is that like?
It's pretty neat, yeah. I have a couple samples on display in my cabinet at home that I like having and take a look at occasionally. It's not exactly an impressive looking rock. It's kind of a brown with gray streaks on it, and that's about it. The beauty of it comes from the knowledge that we have of it. There's something that science kind of opens up when you start getting more knowledge of something that actually can make it more beautiful, even though it also makes it sound much more technical, too. And that's one of the beauties of science in general, is when you actually know that this boring rock is 77% of the Earth's history in its hands. It's pretty cool.